Lenny Mira is with us, State Representative, 2nd Essex District here on the North Shore here in Essex County. Len, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, Bill, thank you for having me on the air. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I know we talked a long, long time ago now, but we're in campaign season. We got the election in November. We got state house issues, local issues. But let's begin with a couple of local issues in your area. So you represent Georgetown, Hamilton, Ipswich, Newbury, Rowley, Topsfield, those communities. So what are a couple of the big issues up there?
Well, I got to tell you, I've been on the campaign trail every single day knocking on doors, and the issue I hear about more than anything else is the simple issue of water and development, because there are more housing units getting built, you know, every year, and the water supply is barely sufficient to cover the current population. And so that is a serious issue that seems to be getting worse and worse with every passing year. And it's something that's going to take both a regional approach and something that involves all three levels of government, from the federal government to the state and municipal levels as well. But that's the issue I think I hear about the most.
There was a regional approach that was just in the news like last several weeks about, I think, hooking up with the Quabbin Reservoir, water sharing, different things, distribution, coordination, if you will, to help meet that need. But I would think that mitigation is still some time away.
Yeah, it would be. And that is one option. It would be a matter of joining up to MWRA, Mass Water Redistrict Authority. And so that is something that's certainly doable, because the water from the Quabbin is both plentiful and good quality. But there is a cost issue there, as well as the relinquishing of local control over a water source. So right now, cities and towns have their own water districts, and they get to exercise a certain level of control over that. So some communities may have a reluctance to do that, but some may think it's a good deal because, like I said, it gives a reliable source of good, clean drinking water. But that's not the only solution, Bill. You know, there's also things like additional wells that could be drilled by the state and by local municipalities, as well as joining the local water districts. So in my current district, I have the towns of Groveland and West Newbury. So, for instance, Groveland has plenty of volume, but they don't have a treatment center, so the water comes out brown in a lot of places. West Newbury has a water treatment facility, but they don't have enough volume. So if communities like that could be joined together, then we could have a solution right here locally, and that would be preferable to a lot of residents. And it's just a matter of getting the engineers to look at this and come up with the best options available.
Exactly. What now, infrastructure, we've had a lot of issues down here in southern Essex County, you know, with bridges. They had a big public hearing this week in Beverly on two bridges in Beverly that need to be replaced, MBTA rail stations and different things like that. So what is the, are bridges an issue in the 2nd Essex District?
Both roads and bridges are a huge issue because, like we all know, this can has been kicked down the road for a lot of years. And you go on some of our local roads, and it's just pothole city. And so we're going to need some help. And here's the good news, Bill. The state legislature is sitting on literally billions of dollars that can be used for this right now. We had money come in from the federal government under ARPA, which is the American Recovery Act. But we also have monies available through the bipartisan infrastructure law that also passed. And, you know, that's the good news. The bad news is that Beacon Hill is kind of dragging its feet, to be honest with you. You know, they shut down session at the end of July so that we can campaign. But there's no excuse, really, for delaying the implementation of these funds. Cities and towns need that money right now for a host of different things, including and especially roads and bridges. So that's the good news. We are sitting on billions of dollars that can be used for this. And in the next legislation, which will get sworn in January, we'll be working with DOT to start getting those roads and bridges fixed.
That delay, Lenny, is that because for the reason you mentioned, or did the money just come in and there's just really wasn't enough time to coordinate distribution?
No, I mean, I don't want to sound cynical or negative.
No, of course not. No,
because, you know, people call us all the time saying, "Why can't we just get back in session for just one day or 2 days to get that money implemented into?" To vote on our economic development bill, which is just languishing in the legislature. And, you know, this is the awful side of Beacon Hill, where a tiny number of insiders pretty much decide everything. And that's what they're doing now. They're not really telling us what they're thinking. There's talk that they could call us back for a day or two to vote on these things. But then there's talk about, no, we'll just wait until January. But, you know, like I said, these cities and towns need the money now. And it's just shameful that a tiny group of insiders are controlling the debate and the activity of all these important bills on Beacon Hill. But that's where we are. And, you know, some of us are trying to encourage them to get us to go back into session. You know, have us go back to work. Keep in mind, when they shut down session, they're still paying us. And so we should be doing our jobs. We should be voting on these bills.
Yeah, I'm sure there's the construction season's coming to an end here now, but to start projects, there's a long ramp-up period as well, I'm sure, or at least some kind of a ramp-up or lead time to get things going here, so whatever. Hey,
that's true, too. We do need engineering done, but, you know, at the same time, our local DPWs have guys available right now to do some of this work, so I'm hoping we can get that money to them soon.
Yeah, probably it's not a heavy-duty engineering to patch potholes, you're right. Maybe I'm wrong. Hey, now here's another one that I've talked to a number of state reps about or senators, and that's that the money that would be coming back as form of a tax rebate or whatever they're referring to it as. What's the deal on that money?
Yeah, this is a law that was voted on by the taxpayers, by the voters, way back in 1986 on a ballot question. And the law basically says that if revenues come in higher than wage increases, then that is an overpayment of taxes. And the overpayment of those taxes has to get returned to the taxpayers. So we waited for the auditor and the treasurer to come up with a final amount, and it looks like the amount is going to be about $3 billion, or 13%. And so taxpayers should get back 13% of whatever they paid in mass income taxes last year. And once again, you know, a tiny number of insiders of Beacon Hill are just dragging their feet on this. So the governor said, no, let's get these checks out. Let's get those checks out next month in November so that taxpayers can have it for the Christmas season. And, you know, once again, the leadership in both the House and Senate are not really letting us know if they're going to do that or not. Some are even talking about, you know, revamping that law and doing something different with the money. But that's trampling democracy, because nothing is more democratic in, you know, the true sense of that word. Any ballot question. Democracy is when the citizens make their own laws. And they voted emphatically to give this money back. And it's only happened once before, 1987. But the law says what it says. And so I'm with the governor on this. We should send those checks out in November. And I hope that's what we finally elect to do.
It's funny, because I was thinking that it was all up to the governor, and I know what you said, the governor said, and I've heard that same thing, that he wants to do it, but I thought the timeline was up to him. So you're saying now the state legislature is involved with this timeline for doing that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wish the governor had sole control over this, but that's not the case.
Gotcha.
So we're going to have to wait for, you know, the certain powers that be to make a final decision on this.
All right, so here's another one. Now, I'm watching commercials on TV for some ballot questions, particularly number one. I've seen some questions on that. You mentioned ballot questions. Can you explain our ballot questions that we're going to see this year? Because usually we know what they are, and somehow or other, I was just thinking the other day, I really haven't gotten up to speed on what the ballot questions are. What are we looking at as Massachusetts voters here in November?
Yeah, we're looking at several of them. And the first one, question one, has been the most divisive and the one that I think gets the most attention. And that is what they call the millionaire's tax, or a fair share amendment. And what this would do, if it's voted into law, is it would create an additional tax on income taxes. So we currently have a flat tax. Everyone pays 5%. If question one is passed, it would be an additional 4% added onto anyone making over $1 million. And, you know, it sounds like just millionaires or, you know, professional athletes would be paying this. But no, it would affect a lot of people, including those who sell a house, sell a business. And keep in mind, people who own a small business are under subchapter S, which means they pay taxes on all of the income and all the profits in their company. So a local plumber, electrician, restaurant owner, they pay taxes on the full amount of profits that flows through them. And so they would be hit with this tax. And we've seen what happens in other states that have tried this, Bill. You know, New York, California, I think Connecticut. What happens is people move their money, move their businesses to other states. And so the tax never brings in as much as people expect it to bring in. And the second part of this law is that the promise is made that the money brought in would only be used on education, transportation. And apparently people believe this is true, but it's not true. It's nothing more than a hollow promise from the legislature saying, yeah, we promise to do this. There's nothing requiring the legislature to only spend that money on schools and roads. So once that money comes in, the legislature would be able to spend it on whatever they want to spend it on.
Yeah, so and what you're saying, Lenny, is that, you know, if I'm a plumber, let's say, I may have a plumbing business, but basically, as far as tax reasons, I could very well just be classified as an individual. Is that what you're saying too, right?
Yeah, but right now, you have to be a certain kind of corporation. You know, the big publicly traded corporations are C-Corps, and they pay taxes twice, once on the profits and again on a distribution or dividend. Subchapter S is much better. You only pay taxes once when the profits come into the business. So if your plumbing business, you know, brought in over $1 million, that plumber will pay taxes on that amount, even though he doesn't really get that money because it stays in the business. You know, he's trying to grow or expand his company by buying equipment or hiring people, and he's going to get whacked with this tax. And, you know, it's just too easy to move a business these days. It's not like 50 years ago or 100 years ago where it was difficult to do that. Right now, like just moving a mouse, you know, clicking a mouse, you can move a business to another state. And, you know, we don't want to see that happen. It's what's happening in California, New York, some other states, and people and businesses are moving out, and they're hiding their money as well.
Got it. All right. What other ballot questions? What can you share with us, you know, running through some of these other ballot questions?
Well, the other one I hear the most about is question 4, which deals with driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants. And so we voted on this a couple of times, and I voted against it because it just seems, you know, patently unfair to the immigrants who came here legally, who followed the rules and filled out all their paperwork, did the right thing. And now we're going to reward people who basically cut the line, and we're going to hand them driver's licenses, which, let me remind everyone, is not a right. It's a privilege. It's a privilege you earn, and it's just plain wrong. And, you know, when we voted on this in the legislature, we had some amendments to make those licenses look different by making the background color a little different or putting a stripe or some sort of indication that the person holding this is not a legal resident. And, you know, even those modest proposals were shot down. And so those licenses for undocumented immigrants look just like everyone else's. And keep in mind, we have in the state a law called the Motor Voter Law that lets people register to vote when they get a license. And so we don't want to, you know, we want to avoid any kind of confusion when that happens. And so I'll be voting against that question.
Gotcha. Lenny, anything else to share with us about your district, about the state house, or anything else you want to, in a final parting shot, if you will?
Yeah. I just hope that everyone who hears this, who's concerned about these issues, please get out and vote. And we've made it easier than ever. You can request a ballot through the mail, so you can vote in the mail. But we also have early voting bill starting, depending on your town, October 24th, 25th. So if you want to avoid the lines on Election Day, which is November 8th, you can go to your voting location starting October 24th, 25th, and be a part of early voting. So we've made it easier than ever to cast a ballot.
You know what would make it even easier, Lenny, is if the towns were able on October, the last, the Halloween, if they gave out candy to people coming in to vote. What do you think, huh?
That's a great idea. Absolutely. Why not? It's an experiment. Get a Hershey's bar just for coming in to vote.
Yeah, Snickers, and I'll cast my vote. I mean, come on. Let's...
No, we want people to vote. You know, especially.
No, I'm just kidding.
Audience.
Yeah. So. Now I'm just thinking. You know, if you're going to make a trip around town, I mean, you could combine it with trick or treating for sure. And I wasn't trying to be snarky about that, really. I'm just it's just a poor attempt at humor is basically what it was. All right, Lenny, thanks so much for joining us. We do appreciate it. We like getting the updates, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Anytime, Bill. Love doing it.
You got it. Lenny Mayer, a state representative, 2nd Essex, up in northern Essex County here on MSONewsports.com.